Let's continue in prayer. God, thank you so much for each one of these children, for how much you love them, how your heart sings for joy as you look upon them. We thank you for the privilege that is ours to love them in your name. And we thank you for the joy they bring to our hearts. We pray, God, now as your children, that we would have listening ears, that we would receive the blessing that you have for us, that we might grow to maturity in all that you intend for us and be a part of your good work to the glory of your name, to the good of our neighbors in this world. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So as Pastor Jonna mentioned, it was a little cold this week. Anybody notice that? So it might seem a little strange for me to start out by talking about ice cream. But last Sunday night, my family and I got out some ice cream, and I took about a half a scoop, put it into the bowl, and I thought, I'm going to be a good boy here. And my wife says, you know, that's not going to be enough for you. I was like, yeah, we'll see. So I went back off and started reading, and about 30 seconds later, got up and got some more ice cream. I think I went back for thirds, actually. But, you know, they were small portions each time. I just love that ice cream. Once you taste it, you see how good it is. You can, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time stopping at that point. In today's letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter is writing to people who have tasted how good the Lord is. They've had this experience of God. They've come to faith. They've come to life in Jesus Christ. But the pressure of the world is such that they are having a hard time hanging in there. When the world is starting to persecute them, their temptation is to drift away. Instead of coming for more of Jesus, more of his word, more commitment, the temptation is to, you know, we'll take a little bit of Jesus, but we're going to go on our way with the world. Have you ever had that temptation in your own lives? In the busyness of our lives and the challenges that we face? And what Peter wants us to remember is that if you've tasted how good the Lord is, then go back for more. Keep on coming to him. Don't drift away. 1 Peter chapter 2 flows out from this one verse in the first chapter, verse 23, where Peter has said this, "You were born anew through the living and enduring word of God." You've been born anew. So now he's challenging them, encouraging them to live out this new life. And so I want to read for you chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And hear what the Apostle Peter has to say about living into this new life. "Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture. See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Peter's writing these words to people living in what's probably the northern area of what's now called Turkey. Emperor Nero has begun persecuting the Christians, and that persecution is rippling out through the empire, and these folks are experiencing that. You know, you think about where a person's identity comes from in life. For them, their families, the community they live in, their jobs, their relationships with others around them. All of that's being taken away from them. They're losing jobs. They're being shunned by their families, by their communities. All of that's kind of fading away. Everything that they thought was important about who they are is being taken away. The world's looking at them and saying, "You're good for nothing." In fact, what the world is saying is, "We might just kill you." And it's to people in the midst of this situation that Peter is writing and saying, "I want to tell you who you really are. These other aspects of your identity, they may seem important, they are important in different ways, but this is the core of who you are. Everything else falls into place out of that. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people." Peter wants them and wants us to know that, to own that. It makes me think of, you know, what's going on tonight? There's some game. Anybody heard about this? Most of you, I have a feeling, are like my family, rooting for the New England Patriots. You know, we came to... No? I must be in the wrong church. What happened here? My family came to this church from Boston, as some of you know. And so New England, the Patriots are just a part of, and by the way, they used to lose a lot before the last few years. So, you know, these things do come and go. It's been there for a while. Who knows what'll happen tonight? But you know what it's like when you're rooting for a team, right? Nothing else really matters at that point. When you're on the sidelines rooting for your home team, you're not leaning over to the person next to you and saying, "By the way, are you a Republican or a Democrat?" Right? When you're rooting for your team, when you're wanting your team to do well, you aren't leaning over and saying, "Let's see, are you African American or are you African or are you, what, you know, are you Greek? Are you Swedish? What's your back?" You're not asking any of that. You don't care about any of that. Am I right? The only thing that matters for that hour, hour and a half, is whose team are you on? Who are you rooting for? That's your identity, at least for that short season, or even just for that short game. How much more so for us, who've been chosen by God to be a part of His team, His family, is this identity that we have in Jesus Christ ultimately the only core of our identity? Everything else flows from that. In my identity, I am a parent. I am a husband. I am a pastor. I am a citizen of the United States of America. But I got to tell you that my identity as a Son of God, of the living God through Jesus Christ, that's the core of who I am. And so that shapes and informs all of the other aspects of my identity. I vote, I parent, I love my family, I love you. As that's shaped by who I am in Jesus Christ. It's not that nothing else matters. It's that everything else flows from this core of my identity. And it's in Jesus Christ that then you and I, if you've come to Jesus, if you've committed your life to Him, if you've received the love of God, the blessing, the forgiveness, the hope that He gives you, if you've tasted that the Lord is good, then your bond with me and with the people around you is in Jesus Christ. And all the rest of that, we got to wrestle with, we got to figure out, but we start here and we end here in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? And so Peter wants these folks to know That they've got a clear identity and they need to own it. Month after month, we come back to this table once again to remember who we are, whose we are. This tells us our identity. And in our identity, then, we find out what we're here to do, how we are called to live. This is what Peter is talking about in verses 4 and 5 when he says, come to him, a living rock, rejected by mortals, but chosen and precious in God's sight. And as living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, as we come to Jesus, we discover who we are, who we really are, and as living stones, God builds us into what God is doing here on earth. It all flows out of that. So the first thing we need to know is that we've got to come to Jesus. What we were singing just a few moments ago about coming to the rock. And in fact, if there are some here this morning who have never come to Jesus, never said, Jesus, I want my identity to be in you. I want to live as a child of God. I want to invite you this morning to pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you. May I be born anew to your good purpose and love in the world. Of course, it's not just for people who might pray that prayer the first time in their lives, but for all of us, every time we come to this table, and actually every morning when we wake up, that we begin our day by coming to Jesus. You know, like those infants that long for that pure spiritual milk. That's what Peter is encouraging us to do. Elsewhere in the scriptures, this idea of drinking milk is looked on as a lesser thing than eating meat. You know, where Paul is saying, do the substantial thing. Get into the meat of God's word. Here, that's not the metaphor that Peter's using. What he wants us to be is like little birds, you know, where the parent comes with that food, and they're like, chip, 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 chip. I want that. That's how God wants us to come to his word, to long for that pure spiritual milk that comes to us as we come to Jesus, as we come to his word, as we come to prayer, as we come to communion, to come praying, God, give me the spiritual life, the resources, the Holy Spirit that I need to live. Come to him. And what happens, Peter tells us, is that we will be built by God into being a spiritual house. Now, this is interesting because this is written probably 62, 61, 63, somewhere in there AD. In 66 AD, the temple in Jerusalem will be demolished by the Romans. We know that Jesus actually talked about, if you tear down this temple, meaning his body, meaning this temple of bricks and mortar, of blocks, if you tear these things down, in 3 days I'll build it up. Jesus, in 3 days, rises from the dead, and his new temple begins. We are that new temple. We're the living stones through Jesus Christ that Jesus pulls together to build this temple that isn't just in Jerusalem, although it is there, but it's also in New Brighton, and it's also in Tokyo, and it's also everywhere God's people are, because the temple of God is no longer stones of this earth, but people of God's kingdom. And so just as the temple in the past, this house, was a place that people would come to experience the living God, we are to be that kind of a house, that temple, together. This is part of why the Christian life is never something to be lived off on our own. Together we are this temple. As people come to this fellowship among us here, they are called to experience the living God. That's one of the reasons I'm so grateful for our worship leaders who help us to have this experience where we can invite people to come and truly worship, encounter the living God. That's what we're supposed to be here at Salem and everywhere two or three of us are gathered together, the living temple where people say, there's God in the midst of them. He says, I'm going to make you into a holy priesthood, or as he says later on, a royal priesthood. And the priesthood, remember again, this is not a bunch of individual priests, it's the priesthood. It's us together. And together, what priests do is they help people connect with God, and they help God connect with people. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are called to this ministry of reconciliation, where we are reconciling, helping people come to God and God connect with people. This is our mission, our ministry in the world, to help each other connect with God, the living God, to experience the love of God in our world. And in fact, that's what Peter goes on to say, is that as we are made into the spiritual house to be this holy priesthood, that we will offer to God spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, these spiritual sacrifices, that's a contrast to the Old Testament way of the animal sacrifices that were made. Now, that's been done away with now. Jesus is the final, ultimate sacrifice. And that's been done. That's over. But God calls us to offer spiritual sacrifices, which Paul proclaims in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, that we are to be those spiritual sacrifices. I love the way the writer to the Hebrews puts it. Hebrews chapter 13, as he's bringing his whole book to a close, he says this, through him, that's through Jesus, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. So part of this spiritual sacrifice that God calls us to offer as we come to Jesus is praise and thanksgiving. We've been talking a lot about that, doing that in worship, doing that as we come here to the table, offering praise and thanksgiving. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. That, as Peter said, we're to proclaim the mighty acts of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We do that at this table, and we do that as we share our stories with one another in the world to talk about how God is at work in our lives. And then he goes on, it's not only praise, it's not only proclamation of God, but it's also very practical. Listen to this. Do not neglect to do good. Did you catch that? Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So if you're wondering what it means to live the Christian life, what it means to live out your identity in Jesus, it's actually pretty basic, pretty simple. Do good in this world and share what you have. You think about our world where we come out of these different identities that we're given, and we come out of those and we're sometimes anything but good and kind. We are angry and we're trying to beat each other up. But see, we come out of our identity in Jesus Christ. And so whatever it is we're doing, in whatever our different roles and identities might be, the fruit of the Spirit are to be evident in our lives. Love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and gentleness, generosity, self-control. You see, we live out of who we are in Jesus Christ. And as we do, we live out our other identities, our other roles, in a way that always, always points back to Jesus. Points back to who we are, thanks to Jesus. And when people experience us, they get a chance to encounter the living, loving God. So I pray this morning that as we come to this table, that each one of us here will come to Jesus and pray that he would root you in the core of your identity, and that his grace, his love would flow out of that to the world. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the gift you've given us of coming to you, the one who has come to us. We thank you that you make it so easy for us. That you have, Lord, across the divide. You've broken down the barrier, and you've made access to the living God possible through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, now for those in the room who are feeling led to say yes to you, that they would indeed say, yes, I want to follow you. I want to live in you. I want to be a part of what you're doing in the world. Grant us the grace to know the core of our identity as children of God. And Lord, out of that identity, help us to live as faithful witnesses in all that we do in life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.